Hey guys, what's up? It's your man Austin, and I want to welcome you back to The Lost Art. And yeah, it's been a minute. Interesting stuff's been happening. You know how it is, guys. We get busy, we all get busy, and you kind of have to work on priorities. And you know, some big priorities were coming up. You know, I had some tests I had to take for fire and interviews and workouts and all sorts of stuff. I have a new nephew, just was born on September 1st and was born premature, but not to worry. He is fine, healthy, and is at home right now. So lots of really cool stuff been happening. I hope everything's been going good with you guys, and I hope that at least your 2020 is shaping up better than it was the month before or even before that. So I'm actually sitting here. I just got done doing a run. So my goal is to run a mile and a half in 10 minutes and 30 seconds. And so I've been shaving off time each week that I run it. I run it at least once a week. And today I was actually on pace to even take more time off. And then I got a cramp with 0.15 miles left to go on my run. So I had to stop. I had to stretch. I did walk the rest of the way. Proud to say that. I was able to make it the full 1.5 miles. And so, you know, I didn't pull a Bron and have to have three guys carrying me off the court. I made it on the trail, and right now I'm sitting here drinking pickle juice because that is a great way to rehydrate your body and get back that salt and electrolytes that's missing while it's cramping. So, it's a good thing I like pickle juice. I like the Claussen pickles. So the Claussen pickle juice is amazing. So it's actually not bad. I don't mind sipping on pickle juice a little bit here, but, I wanted to do a podcast because as I'm kind of nursing this calf, I just had some time. So I wanted to, you know, reach back out to you guys, let you know that I'm still alive, and, you know, talk about alpha male stuff, you know. And I got an email a long time ago. And so it actually pertains to fitness. And so that's kind of a good segue to get into here for segment one. So, as always, we'll start off with emails. So let me dive into my emails here real quick, and we will continue on the show. Show must go on. So first email: mental health and sustainable diets for improved well-being were the biggest two topics that came to my mind. What are your thoughts? And that is from Sebastian. Well, thank you, Sebastian, for writing in. I appreciate it. And this is actually a good topic. I know there for a while we were talking, you know, mainly about women, lots of crazy things going on with relationships and our interactions with women and how we're dealing with things and, you know, being an alpha male in times of strife, which is what we're going through now. But this is kind of a good topic to talk about. Because we do need to get into that. We do need to get into, when we're talking about alpha males, you know, the one thing that we do need to do as alpha males is make sure that we have a sound mind and a sound body. And sometimes, you know, I understand there's, you know, we can make excuses all day long about why we don't want to work out, whether it's, I don't want to wake up early, or when I get off of work, I'm so tired that I can't move and I just want to sit down and watch TV. Like, I get it, because I was there. You know, I've definitely been in there. I'm going to be the first one to say it. But, you know, if we make it a priority, you'll find out that you actually will have more energy. You'll look better. You'll feel better. And your days just seem to go a little bit better because you just feel better. You know, and that's what working out does. I mean, I'm not telling you anything that's groundbreaking, but it's just so easy to fall into that trap of getting into the daily grind. And then, you know, someone calls you up and they want to go to happy hour and you're like, well, it's either the gym or happy hour, and you haven't seen your friend in a while and you want to watch the game and you want to get some wings or you want to go grab some drinks or whatever the case may be. And it's really tempting. And, you know, you have to kind of say no to that if, you know, getting in shape is your priority. So I want to kind of address this and kind of go through some things and kind of tell you about my fitness journey and, you know, why I believe that staying in shape not only helps you physically, it also helps you mentally. And, you know, part of being an alpha male is not only taking care of others, but taking care of yourself. I mean, that you should be taking care of yourself all the time, because if you can't take care of yourself, then how are you going to take care of others? And so it starts with you. You got to take care of yourself. And so, you know, when you do a diet, you know, stick to it, obviously being consistent, the same thing with your workout regimen, you got to be consistent. And that's the hardest thing. Like, people all the time, you know how it is, you know, the first of the year, they're like, oh yeah, it's a new year, new me. I'm going to get on this, you know, weight program, and I'm going to buy all these supplements, and I'm so excited about this. And then it's the middle of February or the middle of March, and people are like, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do that. And they start shifting their priorities to something else. Now, obviously, I understand, you know, something crazy happens, you know, obviously, you know, life happens and we have to adjust, but still, that's only going to be for the short term. For the long-term goal of being mentally and physically fit, you know, that doesn't stop after a couple of months or a couple of times in the gym. Like, you have to be consistent. And the one thing that got me really motivated was when I started seeing results. I started seeing my body change, and it's like, wow, this is, you know, I never thought I would ever see myself have a six-pack. And when you see that, it just keeps you motivated. And it's really tough. I mean, trust me, I've had to cut out soda. I've had to cut out fast food. I've had to make a lot of changes that were really difficult for me. But the result is much better than the alternative. And so let me kind of give you guys a little background on myself. I'm not going to go too into it, but basically, I was a teacher for 10 years. I was a coach, and I don't know if you guys know about the insane hours that teachers work, but they do work an insane amount of hours. And then when you add on coaching on top of it, it ups the ante completely. And, you know, when you get to the school, you know, most of the time you have to report at 7:30 in the morning. That's kind of usually a standard time for teachers to report, because class starts at 8. You teach a whole, you know, 6 or 7 periods, whatever it is that you're doing. If you're on a block schedule, you do your block schedule. You're done. You may have a half an hour to, you know, grab a snack or whatever, get down, change, and go out to the practice field or go on the court or whatever sport it is that you're coaching. And then you're coaching there for, you know, 2.5 to 3 hours. And by the time you get off campus, I mean, you know, it's kind of like a 7:30 to 7:30 job. And then you get home. You're dead tired, and the last thing you want to do is get up and go work out. And so, you know, I had to find creative ways to start doing that. So what I would do is I would either work out on my lunch break, or I would work out in the time between class and practice. I'd grab a real quick workout, but at least it was something, and then I would go to practice. So, I mean, there are ways, if you find them, to, you know, stay in shape. And then so I did get out of education, and I started working in the private sector. I was a account executive for a office supply company. They sold printers and copiers and internet software and database management and all that kind of stuff. And it was a regular job. You know, it was a, you know, an 8 to 4 job. And you know, I would be able to work out afterwards. And so that was nice, because, you know, I could get off and then I would still have enough time to go to the gym and get on a workout regimen. The problem was, is I was lifting too hard. And what I mean by that, I was lifting too much weight. And so I was going back and forth with some buddies. And I was going back with my buddies, Ryan and Jonathan. And we were always trying to one-up each other. We were always saying, hey man, are you going to get up the 120s today? You doing the buck 20s today, dude? How come you're not doing the buck 20s? And what we meant by buck 20s was 120-pound dumbbells. Yeah, not exactly the smartest thing to do, but you know, you know what happens. You know, you get competitive. You have two friends that are very competitive, and you want to outlift them, and you want to show them that you can lift up the buck 20s. So you lift up the buck 20s, and after a while, I mean, for a while there, I was doing 2 sets of 10 with the 120-pound dumbbells. I mean, it was stupid. I mean, I had no business lifting it, but I mean, I got strong. The problem was, is that I messed up my back. I messed up my lower back. My S1 L1 and my S1 L2 were deviated. I had deviated discs. And it was because I was picking up those 120 pound dumbbells off the rack. I was doing it with good form. I made sure, you know, I was lifting with my legs, not with my back, all that stuff. But just the weight of those dumbbells really put a lot of strain on my lower back. And I didn't realize it until one day I just couldn't lift anymore. And I started getting sciatica. And I don't know if you guys know what sciatica is, but basically it's a pinched nerve pretty much at your tailbone. And it goes all the way down that nerve from your tailbone all the way down your leg. And so I had it in my left leg. And I mean, it was some of the worst pain I've ever experienced. It was like a numbing pain almost. It was just like, I could barely move my leg. Getting in my truck was an issue. And so I had to get physical therapy. Long story short, I went to physical therapy for 10 sessions. Thank God it worked, because otherwise I would have to have a back surgery at the age of, I believe that was 37. So for all you guys are out there, you know, trying to, you know, get swole and try to lift as much as you can, you know, I would say, you know, I would do more reps with less weight, because you don't want to hurt yourself like I did. So that was my experience. So obviously I couldn't lift. I wasn't medically cleared to go to the gym. And so with my diet, and it was a poor diet, I'll admit, I was eating lots of processed foods and not working out. And the reason I wasn't working out was because I wasn't cleared to. So no physical activity and a bad diet. I mean, I gained weight, and I gained the most amount that I ever had. I weighed like 230 pounds, and that was really heavy for me. I never weighed that much in my life. And so when I got cleared by my doctor to do physical activity again, I'm just, you know, I hit the weights with a vengeance. You know, I mean, I hit the gym with a vengeance. I started doing more cardio. I started lifting lighter. And the thing that I loved about physical therapy, it actually taught me how to lift correctly. It taught me that I didn't need to be the guy that lifted, you know, 120 pound dumbbells and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it was all about more reps and less weight. And then once I started doing that, I mean, I just started shedding pounds. I started doing more cardio, like I said, and balancing that out. And I just started losing weight and just getting more tone. And I got back down to 210 pounds. And that was my goal. So I lost 20 pounds. And I felt amazing. I felt energetic. And it just rejuvenated me as a person. And so, you know, for you guys that are struggling to get back in the gym for whatever reason, there's always a way to get there. You know, the things that I use, well, I'll go into supplements in a minute, but I didn't finish the rest of my story. Got a little off track there, which I tend to do sometimes. So less weight, more reps, being consistent. Oh, and then diet. So let me get into the diet portion, and this will really simplify things. This was kind of like my light bulb moment. So I had to go in for a physical. I haven't had a physical in forever. I can't even remember the last time I had a physical. I think it was when I was playing college ball, and that was the last physical I got. So I went and got a physical, and I found out, God bless this nurse practitioner. I forget what her name was, but she was excellent. And she basically said, you know, what's your diet consist of? You know, and I was like, well, I was eating like frozen pizza and, you know, Velveeta macaroni and cheese. I love that stuff, by the way. You know, lots of those frozen meals. And she was like, you need to stay. She's like, I'm going to keep this simple for you. What you need to do is you need to live on the outer border of the grocery store. And I was like, huh? What are you talking about? And she said, well, think about it. What is on the outer border of every grocery store that you walk into? And I said, well, it's the vegetables and fruits and, you know, meats. And she's like, yeah, exactly. She's like, everything in the center of the grocery store is all processed food, high in sodium, high in sugar, processed. That's all it is. And I was starting to think, I was like, oh my gosh. She's like, your body cannot process processed foods as much as natural. So she's like, you don't have to go organic, but she's like, you need to eat natural foods. You need to have fruits. You need to have vegetables. You need to make stuff. She's like, I know it's a little bit more work, but your body is going to respond better to that than processed foods. And I was like, wow. Okay. And so that's what I did. I started, you know, living on the outer board of the grocery store. I never would shop in the middle of the grocery store except to get like, you know, peanut butter and any type of spices, you know, just some real minimum things. But I stopped buying cereal. I stopped buying processed foods. I don't buy frozen pizzas anymore. I don't buy, you know, frozen like meals, like those healthy choice meals, like all that stuff's processed. And once I started doing that, I mean, that's where I really saw a difference. And I started, you know, and I got off soda. You know, I used to drink soda like it was water. And then I just quit soda immediately. And I switched to, you know, seltzer water, you know, like those LaCroix or Waterloos or whatever, you know, even the store, you know, even the Kroger brand stuff. I mean, I just, if I needed to get my carbonation fixed, I would just use it. You know, I would drink that instead of soda. And that made a huge difference too. So that's when I really started seeing like my stomach getting slimmer. I started seeing like a six pack coming through. I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. I never thought I would see a six pack. And what I realized was I was eating so much processed foods and drinking so much sugar that any of the good things that I was doing in the gym, whether that was cardio, lifting weights, whatever, playing basketball, I would never see the results because my diet was terrible. And so once I did all that, I mean, it was amazing. And, you know, any one of you guys that wants, I wrote kind of like a mini workout plan and what foods to stay away from. It's really simple and it worked for me. I mean, to me, it's all about being consistent. It's really, we overcomplicate things when it comes to fitness and to diet. And it doesn't have to be that complicated. I mean, it literally was simple as what that nurse practitioner told me. Stay on the outer border of the grocery store, get plenty of workout. You know, you can lift weights, but don't make that all of your workout. You have to do cardio. You have to get your heart rate up. You have to work out your lungs, you know, all that stuff. You got to do all that stuff. And once I started doing that and I was consistent with it, I mean, I've been seeing results like crazy. And then, you know, obviously I'm, you know, going for a fire department and I'm testing and everything else. And you have to be physically fit. I mean, you have to be on your game. And so obviously, you know, I'm doing, you know, more high intensity workouts. I'm doing functional core stuff, which means, you know, I'm doing a lot of burpees, squats, sprints, hill sprints, running. You know, that really balances everything out. I mean, you start to see more cuts with doing those types of things rather than just doing just weights. If you do just weights, yeah, you'll blow up, but you're not going to get the cuts. You have to get the cuts if you want to have a certain look. But you also want to, you know, maintain your cardiovascular. I mean, it's so important for your immune system, as you well know, with this whole COVID thing. You know, a lot of people that have had respiratory issues have had a really hard time with COVID. And I was fortunate. I mean, to me, I was in excellent shape when I got COVID. And I think that played a huge role in it, to be honest with you. So, you know, I really can't stress enough how important it is to have a good balance of fitness, a good balance of diet. And like I said, I can email you my little guide to how I got to where I'm at. Right now, as it stands, I'm 6'2", and I am at like around 214 pounds. So when I got back in the gym, I gained a little muscle mass because I started working out at the gym three times. I did kind of change my workout routine to incorporate a little bit more kind of like CrossFit stuff in it. So I'm doing tire flips, I'm pushing sleds, I'm doing pull-ups. I'm doing mountain climbers. I don't know if you guys know what mountain climbers are, but basically it's like you kind of get in a push-up stance, but then like you start kind of running in place and bringing your knees up to your chest and going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, and just keep doing that. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I'm incorporating that's different into my workout. So I try to make it, you know, weight training with a little bit of cardio in there. And then on my off, you know, I do cardio straight up. You know, I'm running a mile and a half. You know, as fast as I can. And then I'm also doing hill sprints and stuff. So, I mean, there's tons of stuff you can do. And, you know, it's so important to do that, guys. And then obviously, like I said, I mean, not only are you getting the results from yourself feeling good, but mentally you have more energy. You just feel better. You sleep better. I can't stress that enough. Getting plenty of sleep. It's such a huge stress reliever. I mean, you know, obviously you get a good night's rest, you're fresh the next day. And, you know, but if you're not working out, then you just don't seem to sleep as better. Like whenever you work out, your muscles are tired, it needs rest, your body's just gonna naturally sleep. And a lot of people that have sleep problems don't work out. A lot of people that I talk to, I'm like, hey, do you guys, you know, work out? You know, how many days? And like, well, we don't work out. It's like, well, you know, if you're just living off of, you know, energy drinks and you know what I mean, staying up late at night because you have to work or whatever the case may be, and you're not getting any exercise or anything like that, your body is just gonna get all out of whack. And so to kind of sum everything up, guys, stay on the outer border of the grocery store, number one. Number two, make sure that you have a good balance of weights and cardio. You need to do both. If you don't like one type of cardio, try a different type of cardio. Just cardio is not just running on a treadmill. If you hate running on a treadmill like I do, I'd rather run outdoors than run on a treadmill. Play basketball. I know it's kind of hard to do in a gym, but you can do that outside. I mean, they haven't taken down the rims outside yet. At least I know that. You know, jumping rope is good. I mean, there's all sorts of really good cardio stuff. Doing hill sprints. Find something you enjoy doing and then stick with that. And then you get tired of it, switch it up. So stay away from sugar. Stay away from anything sugary. So that could be Gatorade. I love Gatorade, by the way. So what I've been doing is if I need to have a Gatorade, I do like the G2, which is like half the sugar. So that's a good alternative. Like I said, seltzer water, the flavored seltzer waters are good. But drinking your calories, man, that's huge. Stay away from soda, stay away from any of that kind of stuff. You know, fruits and veggies and meats, man. I mean, non-processed meats. So, I mean, you know, like steak, chicken, things like that. I mean, it's really that simple. And if you just maintain that balance of all those things, you'll reach your goals. And so, I appreciate the email, Sebastian. That was great. And so, you know, having that sustainable diet will make you better mentally because you're getting the sustenance you need without all the crap in it. And then also maintaining, you know, your weight program. Like find a time and stick to that time. So if your time is, okay, I'm going to work out at 6 o'clock, Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, make sure you stick to that. You know, that could be 6 a.m., that could be 6 p.m., whatever. But make, you know, find a time in your schedule where you can spend an hour in the gym or an hour doing something, cardio, and stick with that. I'm telling you, it's going to work. And then you guys will see the results. And then also it doesn't help you. It also doesn't hurt with the ladies. Because that's one thing too, guys. I mean, it's, you know, when we talk about fitness and diet and everything, you know, when you're talking about the opposite sex, I mean, we are visual creatures. Men are visual creatures and we want our woman to look good. Well, guess what? They want us to look good too. So, you know, we have to do our part too, because it's not just their job to look good. It's our job to look good too. And trust me, you'll reap the benefits from your hard work, not just because it's going to make you feel better and you're going to sleep better and you're going to look better, but it's going to help you out the ladies a little bit. Because ladies don't like, I mean, yeah, there's this whole trend. I mean, I saw it, you know, about dad bods and all that kind of stuff. Dad bods opposed to guys that are physically fit. Don't let that fool you. Women like guys that are physically fit. And yeah, it appeals to them visually. But what it also shows is that you have a work ethic. You have a way of committing to something. And we all know how women are with commitment, right? So if it shows that you have drive, you know, women want guys with drive. So, you know, being an alpha male, you know, we have drive, you know, and whatever it is that we're putting ourselves into. But if we're not taking care of our bodies, then we're neglecting that part of us. And that's not good. We want to make sure that we are well-rounded in all aspects. So making sure we're well-rounded in all aspects is really important. you know, and yeah, that's what I got to say about that. So thank you for the email, Sebastian. And we got one more email. And the email is from Aaron. And Aaron says, how do you feel about getting back together with an ex? I know that this is a interesting topic because everybody has gone through it, and I wanted to get your take. Thanks for the doing the show. Well, I appreciate it, Aaron. The getting back together with the ex. Well, my theory has always been they are an ex for a reason. And here's how I look at it. I always leave options open. And when it comes to exes, it all depends on the situation. And I know that's kind of a cop-out, but it's really true. How did you break up? Was it a good breakup? Was it a mutual breakup? Was it a terrible breakup? Was it a breakup you're like, thank God this is over? Thank God I am away from that devil woman. Or is it like, oh, it was bad timing. It was just, you know, there was a situation that we just couldn't deal with. And if we were able, once this situation passes, that's kind of out of our control, then maybe we could have a real shot at it. I mean, there's lots of different ways you can look at it. I recently went through a breakup about 6 months ago, and the breakup wasn't because either of us cheated on each other or there was any foul play going on or anything like that. It was just we had a series of roadblocks, and we all can agree that we all need to have a foundation in which to grow upon. And the foundation that we had wasn't really built. And you know, we got along very well. Our personalities matched up. We liked the same things. We were interested in the same things. Our belief systems were very similar. A lot of great positive things between me and my ex. But as far as timing, as far as where we are in our lives, it couldn't have been worse. And we were just on different pages. And over time, that just proved to be a deciding factor in the success of our relationship. And we just kind of split, realizing that it just wasn't the right time for us to be together. I mean, it's that simple. There just wasn't enough foundation there for us to build upon. I mean, you know how it is, guys. I mean, it's like the old analogy, you know, in order for you to build a solid house, you need to have a solid foundation. If you don't have a solid foundation, this house is going to fall where it stands. And that's just kind of what happened with me. So getting back to the question, you know, if you have broken up with somebody and it was because, well, before I kind of give you guys like a final answer on that, I got to go through a couple of different scenarios here. So the first scenario I already talked about, which was there isn't a foundation, or there's something that is out of your guys' control that basically is the determining factor of the success of your relationship. So that could be timing, that could be life goals, that could be lots of different things. The second scenario is that obviously, you know, there was animosity there. Somebody cheated on somebody. Somebody wasn't truthful. You know, there was some deceit in the ranks. And so there's that situation. And then there's another situation where the person that you are with isn't happy with themselves. So they're getting into a relationship to fill the void. And that's really dangerous territory. And so when you get into that territory, you may be right with yourself. You have your self-confidence, you have your self-love and all that other stuff, but the person that you're with doesn't. And they're using you to make, you know, to fill that hole, to fill that void in their life. And that comes out really clear. So you have to determine whether or not it's one of those three situations. And I'm sure there's more situations, but I'm just, you know, for time constraints, I'm just going to say those three situations. So to answer your question, I would say if it's scenario number one, where everything is kind of working out, but the timing is just completely off. If you and your significant other that you were with that was in that relationship with you was able to get through some of those hurdles, you know, whether, again, it was life goals, whether it was living situation stuff, I mean, just stuff that's kind of out of your situation, you know, something that's kind of like out of your control, and that changes, and you guys are both single, and you guys are both willing to work it out, and it's a truly good relationship, it's just the timing was off, but now the timing's back on, then I would say, yeah, I would give it another go, because everything's kind of into place, it was just missing that element, that foundation. So if you have that foundation and it was worked out, then yeah, I would try that again. Obviously, if it was scenario number two, and it was with somebody that was toxic, they cheated on you, they didn't trust you, they're going through your phone, they're going through your iPad. No, I wouldn't do that because there isn't trust established, and you're never going to establish trust if the person that you're with is never going to trust you. So I would say that. Then number three, if you're with somebody that is trying to fill the void, like, you know, they could just basically be with anybody because they just can't be alone, then no, I would not get back together with them because that's unhealthy. That's toxic. You know, you don't want somebody that's relying on you for their happiness. They have to get right with themselves before they can be right for somebody else. So if they're just going around dating whomever that will show them attention to fill that void, then, you know, you're just another number. You're just another guy. You know, and this can be reversed too. Ladies, you know, if you're with some guy that, you know, is just, you can just tell he's not right with himself and he's just getting together with you to try to fill that void, then get rid of him. You know, iron sharpens iron. You need to be with somebody that's going to push you, that's going to raise your level up. So I would say out of those three scenarios, there's just one scenario that I would say yes to an ex. And then the rest of the times I'd say no. I'd say, you know, they'd have to work on themselves or they'd have to do something because, you know, that's not healthy. It's toxic. And why do you want to be in a toxic relationship? So that's kind of my answer to that. So that kind of ends segment one. Thank you guys again for joining me here on The Lost Art. I appreciate you guys always tuning in. Remember, you can always hear this podcast on the Anchor app. You get all the good stuff, you know, the interludes, the music and things like that. I don't know, because I haven't listened to my podcast from anything else other than the Anchor app. So if you're joining us from Spotify or Apple Podcasts or some other app, let me know if you're getting like the intro music and the interludes and things like that, because if not, you're kind of missing out a little bit on the bells and whistles of the show. So with that, I'll end segment one and we'll go into segment two. And again, thank you for joining me on The Lost Art. How you doing, Daniel?
Hey, I'm great, Austin. How are you doing?
Good, good. So we are here on The Lost Art. Thank you guys again for joining in. And I want to welcome Daniel Slate to the show. So to kind of give you guys a background of what we're doing here is this is going to be a first for The Lost Art. We're actually doing a phone interview over the Anchor app. And so we're having a good friend of mine, Daniel Slate, who is has resided in Arizona, but then has since moved to Arkansas and is on his way to becoming a Division I basketball coach. That's his ultimate goal. And he is on his way. He is currently a teacher for one of the biggest schools in Arkansas. And he is coaching basketball as well. So, Daniel, can you please share a little bit more detail about kind of like what you're doing and how you're getting there?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks. Glad to be here and, you know, talking to you. Like you said, you know, we've been friends for a long time now. So I really appreciate you having me on your show. I live in Fayetteville, Arkansas right now, and I work for a high school here. It's a 7A high school called Harbor High School, and I'm the in-school suspension supervisor for the high school. And like, you know, you said, Austin, it's one of the biggest high schools in the state of Arkansas. The actual district that I work for is actually the biggest district in the state of Arkansas. So I'm definitely blessed to be part of that. As far as basketball goes, you know, I currently, this last summer, I was the director of, you know, the Kids Summer Hoop Fest is what we call it. So it basically helps our younger kids from levels age 3rd grade to 6th, 7th grade really focus on the fundamental basics. What we found in this area is that we see a lot of great kids that work hard, but they lack on, they lack in being brought up with the basic fundamental stuff. And that's just with anything you do, whether it be a kid who's in 3rd grade or a pro athlete, you know, if they're messing up on something, what do they always do? They always go back to the fundamentals on there. So that was basically what our Hoop Fest was consisted of. And we looked at bringing teams versus where our competition, where we were traveling, you know, 200 miles or 100 miles, wherever it was, to play a team that was 10 minutes from us, you know? Yeah. So we really focused on trying to keep our competition and our athletes here in Northwest Arkansas, but also bring competition from the local, you know, surrounding states, you know, Oklahoma or down South Louisiana or Missouri. You know, we brought those teams in to Northwest Arkansas and had them play the competition here.
Awesome. Awesome. So to kind of give you guys an idea about Daniel is, you know, he's obviously has been through a lot professionally and personally. And I wanted to bring him on the show because he has a very interesting outlook upon a subject that we've been talking about recently. And what we've been talking about recently is, you know, obviously this whole show is centered around being an alpha male. And in order for us to kind of thrive and to, you know, kind of build alpha males, because, you know, some alpha males are just alpha males because that's just their innate, you know, characteristics, while others, you know, kind of have to be taught a little bit about, you know, how to be an alpha male and use role models and examples. And a truly big part of that is having a father figure around. And so we briefly touched on this topic before in the past, you know, when we talked about how many single mother families there are. And we talked about how, you know, court system is definitely in favor of the woman when it comes to child custody cases. And so Daniel has actually been through this personally, and he shared with me for a long time about his experiences. And I thought that this would add to the show and give you guys some insight about how, you know, this really looks through somebody that's been through it. So, Daniel, can you kind of, you know, just kind of lay down the situation, you know, as much as you want, and kind of, you know, paint that picture for us?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very open on it, you know, just from my previous experience. I'm 31. I was married for, man, I'm going to say, I think it was 7 years I was married. And, you know, I'm currently just now finishing up my divorce case.
On that. Wow.
And, yeah, what I is that, you know, I can be the first to admit, you know, I made my mistakes. I was, you know, part of the reason why we got divorced. You know, there's always two sides to every story and whatever situation it may be in. But what I found out with my custody case is that the court is very
Daniel, can you repeat that? We kind of lost you there for a second.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me better now?
Is that we got you.
Okay, I'm sorry about
no
that.
No problem.
So, what I was saying was that we find out that a lot of, you know, they are still pro-mom. And, you know, a lot of people like to make the argument that, no, it's more 50-50, that it's more of, you know, fathers are getting rights just as much as, you know, mothers are. Which, I don't disagree with that. I do believe that we are on the path for that happening, and you do see it a little more than what it used to be. But just for the reality of it is that it's still pro-mom on the court systems. And I can just say it from, you know, my, you know, like I said, this is not to, you know, knock anybody else's situation. Everybody has their own unique situation that they are dealing with, you know. But, you know, from me and my experience, I can say, you know, that from someone who has battled addictions, you know, I can admit, you know, that I had a pornography addiction at one point. You know, I struggled with that, and it caused me, you know, some some stuff that I wasn't doing. I wasn't being a man that I needed to be, as far as being a father figure for my kids, as far as being a good husband, as far as being a good role model. You know, my addiction, it got the better of me. And unfortunately, I lost my family because of that. And, you know, but because of that, it also has taught me a lot of things on how the courts view a lot of things. Because unfortunately, I was married to someone who, you know, had an addiction themselves. You know, they had an alcohol problem. And being though, with both of these addictions that we have, even though I've worked on my issues and I'm not anywhere near the man I used to be 2-3 years ago, the court still, if you look at the error of caution, if you take somebody who is going to, who has a, let's just say a sexual addiction problem, you know, versus an alcohol problem, they're going to err on the side of caution and they're going to take the lesser of the two evils. So if you put a child in a situation with something like that, the error of caution is that you want to err on, you know, alcohol is a little bit less, as, you know, I will say, traumatic on there for children, that they're not going to be in as bad of a situation as it is for someone who might have a sexual addiction problem that could potentially lead to something happening to that child, especially in today's society of what we're seeing, you know, with all around the news, with, you know, all this, the pedophiles and everything going on that we see in today's society. What I've learned and I've seen is that even though I, being a father who, you know, I have two daughters, you know, they're both 8 years old and 5, that it's still very pro-mom because my children do currently live in Seattle and I've done everything on my end that the court has told me to do, but I'm still having to jump through hoops, even though I've had hard evidence showing why I'm the, you know, the better choice for a parent. Not saying that my kids' mom is a bad parent by any means. You know, she's definitely working on her issues and she's come a long way on her stuff too. But at the end of the day, I still, you know, feel that I'm the better parent. But unfortunately, the court system, to err on the side of caution, they want to err with the mother on that. Because if you look at things from a child, you know, point of view, or parents, who is mostly, you know, with the kids when they're little, Austin, I mean, it's mostly the mother, you know.
Yep, that's right.
Because, I mean, most men, we all know, you know, you go through the stage of when you have a child, the moms are the ones that are staying home and taking care of the baby. You know, they have to breastfeed or whatever it may be that they're having to take care of. And so generally society teaches us that men have to be, you know, out in the workforce and they're the ones gone. So most of the time, yeah, it's the moms that are the ones who take care of the child. So with my experience on this, it has been an uphill battle. And, you know, I'm very blessed. I, even though my kids do live in Seattle, I still get to talk to them. You know, thank God we have technology these days to be able to do Zoom calls and video calls. I mean, I'm able to, you know, I think I spent an hour and a half the other night with my 8-year-old doing math homework on there with her. So, but what we want to really look at is that our society today, it sets up, the court system is a system, and like I said, this is my opinion. This is my feelings. You know, I'm not here to downplay anything else from anybody's feelings or, you know, their thoughts or the facts, what they may think they may be. But from what my experience is, I'm seeing is that the court system is set up to have a fatherless household on there. Our society is set up to where we are putting children in homes that we want the mom to raise the child. When in reality, that's not bad, but if you look at what the healthiest situation is for these children or whoever it may be, is that they need to have both parents in the home.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that the court is pushing this agenda or pushing this idea that the safer parent, no matter what the situation is, and you described, you know, you guys have both kind of been through your things, and that's really great that, you know, that you've learned and you've grown and, you know, from everything that you've experienced. But, you know, if you have two parents that are both involved, both have problems, why do you think that it goes naturally to the mother? That's kind of what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, you know, like I said, naturally, you know, just from history of what it tells us, the mom is the one who takes care of the child. Age. I mean, if you look at a lot of things, most of the time, the fathers are in, they're working while the mom is taking care of the doctor's appointments. They're doing the dentist appointments. They're the ones that take off work to go do all the appointments. So society does set them up for them to take care of the children at a very young age. But I also would like to touch on and say that I feel that it is a it's a money system, really, at the end of the day. Because, oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you mean by money system?
So what I mean by money system and is going into depth in this is that you take a young girl who's, say, 13, 14 years old, you know, even before then, hormones start to set in, and you take her and she grows up without a father, okay? As a young woman or a young girl, you want to have that fatherly role. I mean, I noticed it from just having two daughters myself, you know, that when things are hard, they want to come up to me. They want to talk to me. They want to love on me. They want to make sure that they feel safe, they feel protected, and they feel loved, whether it may be the craziest thing. But so if as a when I say a money thing on that, as from a girl's point of view, meaning that the court will set up our home without the father, so that if a girl gets pregnant at a young age because she did not receive that love and care and nurture from her fatherly figure, she's going to become promiscuous, and she's going to look for that love. She looks for that attention. She looks for that acceptance, you know, and we are taught, you know, that you're supposed to get that from a father on there. And so what I mean by that is that you set them up for them becoming pregnant at a young age. We see a lot of teen pregnancies. I mean, we even have a show, you know, Teen Mom, I think is what it's called. I really don't remember, but I remember seeing, you know, things. I think it was on like MTV or something. I mean, we promoted. So, you know, and that's something that a lot of these teen moms, you know, they do. And then they live off of welfare. They live off the state, whether it be, you know, child support, or it be, you know, the state is paying for them to take care of their health insurance or whatever it may be, because they're in school and they can't afford it, you know?
Yeah.
So I believe that that's what I mean by, you know, that it's a money system. So we're setting them up to not have a father figure, so that 5-10 years down the road when they're teenagers, then they're looking for that love, and then they find it in a boy that they think that it is, it's love at 16, when reality, we all know, I mean, it's very rare that you find the love of your life at 16 years old.
Yeah. So, there's a lot. Yeah. There's so much going on at that age. I mean, you start, you know, they start encountering those feelings, but they don't really know what they are yet, or and they haven't been through life yet. And correct. So they think that it's love, and it's something completely different. It's really infatuation is really what it is.
It really is, you know, and so you can swing the pendulum on that. And, you know, like I said, that's my opinion. That's what I've seen personally in my divorce case. And what I mean, I'm a very big father's rights activist. You know, I believe in father's rights. I believe they are just as important for a child to be in their lives just as a mother is. You know, I don't believe that a father is any more important than a mother, and I don't believe that a mother is any more important than a father. I believe that they both have their roles to play that should be equal to raising their child, as long as they are healthy and able to do that. Now, if they have an addiction or something that's causing them to be abusive or, you know, crazy or whatever it may be, that's, you know, disrupting that child's mental stability, then no. You know, sometimes the case is that the better choice, or the father is a better choice. But, you know, going back to the question you asked on, you know, we touched on what I believe on the women's side and the girls. Well, now let's look at it from the boys' point of view. Okay, so the court system sets these homes up for that the mom is going to be the main provider, and they want the mom to raise the child. They want the mom to be the one that raises the young man. Okay, well, if you look at homes, most of the homes that, you know, these young men that are in jail or in prison at a very young age, or they are gang affiliated, they all grew up from not having a father in the home. They didn't have a role model to teach them what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. They didn't teach them for discipline. And the court sets them up for that. So because they are setting them up in a home without a father, that 5-10 years from now, when they are teenagers or whatever it may be younger, it may be older, that they're in trouble with the law because they never were taught from a father figure how to act. So that's a cash flow right there for the court, because then you're looking at things as in, okay, the kid did a crime. Okay, say he stole something. Now he's looking at a criminal charge. Okay, now the attorney's going to have to get paid for that to keep the kid out of that. The prosecutor's going to get paid to, you know, work on that case on there. The judges are going to get paid. Everybody's going to get paid. Now you have to do payment for, you might want to take a plea bargain, whatever. It's just a constant cash flow to set them up. And then once they do have that mark on them, then it just runs it into later on if they make another mistake. They've already got that martyr on their back. So it makes it easier for them to set them up. I can admit that when I was in Arizona, it's kind of a funny story. I dumped a glass of water on my ex-wife, okay? And she was asleep. In the state of Arizona, the law is that if you disturb somebody's slumber while they're sleeping and you reside in the same home, that falls under disorderly, label it under domestic violence. So,
wow.
Yes, I did not know that, but I did serve a night in jail at, you know, Mesa, you know, there in Mesa and everything at the police station. And I had to do 6 months worth of domestic violence classes for that. And I
wow.
Yes, yes.
That's that role. I did not know that at all. That's crazy. I mean, if you guys are listening to this, how many people are listening right now? I mean, for all my listeners in Arizona, how many people in Arizona knew about this? There's no way that you guys knew about this unless you have been through it. So that's really eye-opening that it even exists.
Yes. So I had no idea about it, but obviously I did 6 months worth of domestic violence, glass of water for disturbing somebody's slumber.
Wow.
So, yeah, but I do remember when I took those classes, the instructor did say most, like, I think he said 3/4 of you guys that are in this class right now, whether it be your first time offense, second offense, will become repeat offenders, and I will see you back in this class. And sure enough, it's happened, you know? So that's what I'm trying to say, is that I just feel that it is very pro-mom, but if we really want to look at it, if the courts were looking at things that are the healthiest for the children, they would set our kids up for having both parents as trying to have them both have the most time with each parent as they can. Because there are things that fathers can do that mothers cannot. There are things that mothers can do that fathers cannot. I mean, you see it, I mean, constantly, Austin, you see the single mom out there on the football field, you know, on a Saturday afternoon playing football with her son. When reality, the boy, he needs that. You know, I see it all the time as a kid.
Yep.
You know, I constantly see that, you know, of having young men who, you know, don't have their fathers around or their fathers are in their lives, but they work, you know, a job that they constantly travel at. You know, they make a lot of money, but realistically, what kids want is they want that time with you. They want that.
Yes, they do.
They don't want your money. I mean, money's great and all, but they want that love and acceptance to know. And in today's society, it's so, you know, gung-ho social media, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever it may be. We're all looking for that acceptance on the likes. And in reality, it actually harms us more than it actually does help us, because we're all sitting there on Facebook. I will admit that I do it personally. I sit there and I compare my life to my friends that I graduated with, and I'll see them, you know, making $100,000 a year, $200,000, whatever it may be. And here I am, 31 years old, and I'm living in a one bedroom apartment trying to start my life all over again and make the best of everything. And I'm looking at for the likes on social media. You know, when in reality that's not healthy at all. But our society promotes that, Austin.
They do, and you know, we've talked about that on the show several times. You know, I've talked about, you know, when we talk about not only just the social media aspect of things, but just dating, I say don't get on dating apps. Don't get on Tinder or Bumble and that other stuff. Try to form organic experiences with other people, and then everything else will flow. And then the same thing with the social media. You know, the social media thing, you know, I swear I saw this the other day. There's a girl that has been posting about how she's, refound her faith and became closer to God and kind of became a born again Christian. And she was promoting all this stuff. And I was thinking, wow, you know, that's a really good thing. You know, I'm glad that she kind of found a faith and she's really deep in her convictions. She's turning her life around to whatever it is that, you know, there was something that was wrong and she's turning that around or whatever. And then literally she says, the next thing is, you know, you can have stories either on Facebook or on Instagram. Mm-hmm. she put on her story, she's like, make sure you follow my OnlyFans account. And I was thinking to myself, what the hell? Like, that literally contradicts everything that you've been posting for the past 6 months. And you're promoting an OnlyFans page that's literally going to show off every part of your body.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's really what your faith is teaching you there. But okay.
No.
It's crazy to me. And it's like, you know, there has to be something to be done with the idea of getting self-satisfaction from social media. And I think that does stem all the way back to like what we're talking about acceptance from both parents. I'm not, you know, I don't know this girl's history. I don't know if her father's in her life or not. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But you know what I mean? I see a lot of people that have these really strong, the strong need to belong and strong need to feel acceptance from social media. And I think part of that has to do with, you know, the acceptance of their family, of their parents.
Yeah.
And there's actually a statistic that I was reading, if I want to share this with you and share it to everybody else, but it says today nearly 25 million children have absentee fathers. According to professional literature, the absence of a father is the single most important cause of poverty. The same is true for crime. All of the adolescents, those enact married families are the least likely to commit delinquent acts. Children of single parent homes are most likely to be abused, have emotional problems, engage in questionable behavior, struggle academically, and become delinquent. Problems with children from fatherless families can continue into adulthood. These children are 3 times more likely to end up in jail by the time they reach 30 than are children raised in intact families, and have the highest rates of incarceration in the United States. And that's from the, I got this from Marypedia.org.
Okay.
And that's a really, I mean, that just tells you everything. And then the other thing that I wanted to ask you, because we're both kind of, I was a teacher for 10 years as well. Yep.
Yep.
I was a teacher for 10 years in the state of Arizona. I taught different high schools. I taught at Thunderbird High School, Millennium High School, you know, some pretty big high schools around the valley.
Awesome.
And yeah, I did that for a while, and I was a coach as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I coached baseball and JV football and varsity football as well. So I kind of had my there's a kettle of a lot of fires going on.
Nice. Well, maybe we were same coaches at the same time out there in Arizona, because I was also a coach out there in Arizona. You know?
Yeah, maybe so.
Oh,
and so, but I wanted to ask you this because, you know, we both have an education background. The lack of education that these kids are receiving is astounding to me. Like, you know, back in the day, I remember, you know, we had sexual education. You know, we learned about everything, you know, about the human body, both male and female. We learned about sexual diseases, teenage pregnancy, this and that, why it's bad, why you should, you know, obviously try to prevent that from happening by using protection and everything else. I mean, these kids today don't have that.
Correct.
And so not only are they making bad decisions because I think they're uneducated and they're not getting that education, but now we're faced with the problem that these single parent families, especially single mother families, you know, they don't have, I mean, it's really tough to have that kind of education and that perspective just coming from the mother. They also have to hear it from the father. And I think that that's very detrimental. And so what are your thoughts on that?
No, I really agree with you on that too, because I mean, like you said, you know, we see a lot of, you know, moms with education, you know, they don't promote the education. And I think our society today, we are so worried about hurting somebody's feelings, or we're so worried about, you know, acceptance, or, you know, like we don't actually talk about the real things that need to be talked about because we're afraid it might offend somebody, you know, and a lot of, like you said, with the school and the education. Yeah. I see it constantly. Like we don't hold our kids accountable for things. You know, we let things slide and we let it be swept under the rug. And the education on there is that, you know, my opinion on that is that with kids coming from a divorced home or versus a stable home with both parents raising it, I can speak on that from my experience, is that I grew up in a very good home. I mean, I don't know if I ever told you this, Austin. I'm adopted, actually. So
yes.
I was born in Calcutta, India. I was adopted at 18 months old. I grew up in Arkansas. You know, I went to a little small school. I think I had 33 kids in my graduating class, you know. But my parents were very active in my life. They were at all my ball games, every sport I played, they were very active. And my dad was there, my mom was there. I don't think I remember probably throughout my whole career or education that my mom and dad probably missed a total of 3 games, you know, and that's playing from 4th grade all the way to I graduated high school, you know.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I was definitely very blessed. I will say this, that I was very blessed on having the home environment that most kids and parents, you know, want for their children. You know, I had that, and my parents treated me. I have a younger sister that they had after they adopted me. And, you know, I was never treated any different. You know, I was treated just like I'm their son, and it wasn't a race thing. It wasn't that it was different. It was, they loved me just as if they had me their own, you know, so I was very blessed. So when I see what you're talking about on, you know, versus, you know, the home life that, you know, I see the struggles now with my children on the education system and how hard it is for them right now growing up in a home without me being around. Versus how I never had to worry about those things growing up, coming into the home environment I had. My parents always, you know, I knew, I was, you know, taught that you're a student athlete first. And a lot of people don't push that, is that you are a student first, athlete second. You know, athletics is a privilege. It's not something that you're, you know, you have to have it. We can take athletics out. I mean, we see it just as, I mean, it's the COVID thing. I mean, how many, like, things have we seen now shut down? I mean, I don't think what the Pac-12 right now, they haven't even started their season, right, with college football.
Right.
Because they're, you know, wanting to find out how everything's going to play out. So that right there tells you from a sports mentality how important sports really are. You know, I do believe sports are important. Like, I think that that is a healthy outlet for kids to be able to, you know, work. It teaches them, you know, to work with other teams and prepares them for life in general with things. So I'm not saying cut sports out by any means. I'm just saying that, you know, with everything we've seen recently happen, that it's not as important as getting an education. You have to have your education because you're always going to use it, you know, on there. So no matter whether it be the first 5 years you get out of school or whether it be 15 years, sooner or later, you're going to have a job that you need to fall back on that education. And like I tell my athletes often, you know, I tell them, if you have a chance to take if you're getting recruited out of school and you have an academic scholarship, or they're recruiting you for the basketball scholarship, take the academic scholarship, because if you get hurt or injured or something, you have that to fall back on. You know, say you get, you know, torn, you tear something, then you're not able to play ever again. Well, you still get to finish your education because you got the academic scholarship on there. So, but if we're talking about how, what my opinion is on it, I can agree with that, Austin, that I see that, you know, it is easier and more promoted in a home life that has two stable parents being there, taking care of the kids, versus being a single mother or a single father household and having to raise them and do homework and all. Because most parents, Austin, you know, they work 40, 50 hours a week just to make ends meet. We see a lot of mothers struggling just to, I mean, they're working 2 or 3 jobs. I mean, I'll tell you, Austin, I work 2 or 3 jobs just to, you know, make ends meet and pay my child support and do stuff, you know, just so that I can take care of things. And that's what that goes back to earlier in our conversation of, it's a cash flow money system on who's getting paid, you know? So,
well, the thing that's troubling to me is that, you know, we all want, I think we can kind of all agree that, you know, obviously for most people, getting married and having a family is kind of like the ultimate goal, like for a lot of people.
Correct.
And so the problem is that, okay, can we just kind of like agree for argument's sake that the majority of people want that? Not all, but the majority.
Yeah, majority does. I mean, that's what we're taught biblically. I mean, if you want to look biblical principles, that's what you're taught. God says in the Bible.
So going with that, but here's the thing. We live in a society that doesn't promote that. We live in a society where we have, you know, a record number of single parents raising kids, whether that be mothers or fathers, tends to be mothers now. Mm-hmm. We have a court system that's promoting single family single family, I guess you could say, situations, and giving all of that custody to the mother in most cases, you have the lack of education in schools promoting, safe sex and, not having kids at, 16 or 17 or what have you. Mm-hmm. You know, we have, shows, Teen Mom 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. So you're surrounded by all this stuff, and it's just like, what are we really doing here? We're saying that we want all these things, but then when you look around, a society is kind of promoting something different, and then there's all these problems, and then we figure out, okay, well, how come people aren't getting married as much? How come we're not seeing kids being raised in a manner that is going to be productive when they, they become adults and become a contributing member of society? You know what I mean? It's kind of like counterintuitive.
Correct.
And so,
well, you hit the nail on the hammer earlier when you said, you were talking about how we live in such a swipe, left or swipe right. What is, I don't even know if it's swipe left or right to, match with somebody. I can't remember everybody. I mean, I'll admit I've had the dating apps before, but I've never did any, hits on them. So I was like, I just canceled them.
From what I can remember, just based off of my experience, and I haven't been on a dating site or on Tinder or Bumble or any of that stuff in 3 years.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and guess right was a swipe. A swipe right means that you like them, and so you're trying to match up with them. So I'm going to go swipe right here.
Yeah. So we're so set up to, it's convenient. It's a quick thing. And like you said earlier, nobody gets to know people anymore these days. They don't take the time to actually find out. Like for me, I'll admit I'm in the situation I am in now because I didn't take the time to know my, my ex-wife when we first got together. I mean, we were, man, you want to talk about quick. It was, we went out on one date to, do you remember the Toby Keith bar they had in Mesa?
I do.
Yeah. So I was
classic.
I remember Toby Keith bar. I was dating her. We met at a call center called GC Services out there in East Mesa and everything on Power and Southern. And we just started dating. Man, we went out on one date. Next thing I know, she stays in that with me. Then I stay in with her. I move in with her within a week, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
you guys.
So, I mean, I was young. I was, I think, 21, 22 at the time, Austin.
Yeah.
I was not ready for any of that. Young and in love. What can I say?
Yep.
But I'm not going to talk bad about it. I mean, she gave me two amazing, beautiful daughters to this day. So, if I look back on it, I mean, everything happened for a reason. I have two great girls out of it, So, but what I'm saying to touch on that is that we don't take the time. We're not even, men don't take the time to get to know women. Women don't take the time to get to know men. We're not taught how to have. We're not taught how to say no on things. We're not taught to say this is, for me, Austin, I look at it, I'm very critical on things and maybe I'm a little too critical, but it's just a sense of like, if I can't get a simple text back answering, I'm very schedule oriented. My time, I have a calendar. I write things out on my day of what it looks like. So,
yeah.
Because what's most important to me is not money. I've worked the jobs to where it's, dark to dark, and I hated it. It drove me mentally insane, honestly. But I realized that the most valuable thing for me is my time, because I won't ever get that back. So
you're absolutely right.
And what people don't realize is like when that is the most valuable thing you're giving to somebody else is your time. And I didn't come up with that myself. I have to owe that to author Corey Wayne. I read his book because, like you said, when we first started this podcast today, we were talking about how some men, they just have it naturally. It comes natural being masculine. It's others, you don't have it. Me, unfortunately, I was not one of those guys who naturally had the masculine, quality to me. I had to learn a lot of honestly on
yeah.
that. And so, and I did, but that's the thing is I realized I was lacking in certain areas. I was lacking on self-love. I was lacking woman and what to be expected and how to be a man reality. And what I've come to find out through that is that, we don't do those things as men. Women want to be, taking control. Yeah, they will sit there and they will tell you that they are a strong, independent woman. And like I said, that is on how society raises them, that they don't need a man, that they can do everything on their own. But reality is that they don't want that. They don't want to be the one having to carry the load and having to plan the dates and having to do something. No, a woman wants to show up, look beautiful, and enjoy herself and let her man take care of things. She doesn't want to schedule out all those things. That's a man's job. And we, I feel, as a society of men, we've really dropped the ball on that. We don't do those things. We don't take girls out on dates. We don't actually take the time and schedule a, hey, I'm going to pick you up at 6 o'clock on a Thursday night and we're going to, you know, go do something fun and just get to know each other. But Everybody wants to jump in and they want to have sex and they want to move in and they want to talk about them, but they don't actually take the time to get to know the other person. And that's why our divorce rate is so high these days.
Well,
go ahead.
Let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of conflicting information. One of the things is that there's some women that don't that can't commit to a date. You know, they say they want to go on dates and they want the guy to take control. But there's women, I'm not saying all, I'm just saying that there is women out there that will say, okay, yeah, if you schedule something, I'll go out with you. Well, you schedule something and then all of a sudden they can't commit to it because, you know, they're on a dating app and there's 15 other guys that are asking them out on dates. Mm-hmm. So do you think that's part of the problem?
I do think that that's part of a problem, but at the end of the day, I think that that's a character flaw on them. Because reality is we have 24 hours in a day. There's 7 days a week. And the way I look at things now is like, I'm not worth an hour of your time or maybe even 30 minutes just to schedule out to, you know, commit to. I mean, everybody thinks that a date is we go out and we have to spend all this money on somebody to, you know, enjoy their company. When in reality, a date can be just a walk in the park. A date can be, you know, hey, let's go grab a cup of coffee and get to know each other. So, yeah, I agree with that, Austin, on that. They do. They have a lot of things lined up and it is a pick and choose. Like, let me pick. This is the guy I want to be with, or this guy looks good. And it's all off of looks versus someone who actually really can treat them good, but it doesn't fit their character on what they want on there.
Yeah. Well, we live in a society of options, and, you know, having the Instagram, having Facebook, having Tinder, Twitter, Bumble, all these different things. There's so many options that we didn't have back in the day. And so we could just focus on one person and actually get to know them. Whereas now we have 20 different options. And you know what? I'm going to be the first one to say it too. Guys do the same thing.
Yeah,
guys do the same exact thing. So this isn't, you know, this isn't just, you know, me saying that this is the woman's fault and this is the reason why guys aren't taking control. There's a lot of guys out there that are dating 15 girls at once. Yeah. Trying to do the bouncing acts and, you know, and spin plates, and, you know, eventually, one, you know, there's gonna be some that fall down and they crack, and
correct, and that's why, you know, women are the way they are too, because they've been with guys like that. Guys have not treated them like a woman deserves to be treated, and they set themselves up to where they become bitter. I'll admit, Austin, I've done it. I've become bitter. I've acted that I should not have acted, you know. So, mm-hmm. But I understand it now, you know. So I'll be the first to admit that I have been on that boat, you know. But after reading, like I said, that book by Corey, the How to Be a 3% Man, it really did open my eyes to a lot of knowledge that I was not aware of. That and making a lot of mistakes that I was constantly making. You know, I was mm-hmm. always, you know, wondering like why I could never get a date, what was going on, like. I'd have all this popularity from people constantly telling me, oh, you know, you're a great looking dude, you're a country guy, you coach basketball. I have all these great things about me that they would tell me, but yet I would always find out that I would be, but you're a great friend. Let me friend zone you, you know, type of thing. Because you listen and do all
right.
that.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah.
And I had to fix that. I had to learn how to, you know, obviously what I was doing, what is it? The definition of insanity, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing the same thing over and over. Expecting a different result, and it was not working. So now, you know, where I'm at, I'm comfortable with me. I love me, and that's what I'll tell anybody, is that I don't think anybody should ever be in a relationship until you are fully comfortable with yourself and you love who you are, because you really cannot love somebody else and treat them the way that they need to be treated if you don't even love your own self on there? I mean,
Were you with me in the room when I was doing segment one? Because that's literally what I said in segment one.
Oh no, I was not.
I answered. I answered an email in segment one, and it was about getting back together with an ex. And I said, well, there's three situations. One situation is that you guys are you're a great fit, but the situation that you're in is just there's obstacles that you just can't overcome, and it's just not the right timing. We all know how important timing is. Mm-hmm. Number two is that there was cheating going on. You know, somebody wasn't faithful. And so there was that, you know, they also had trust issues. That was number two. And then number three was they are just in a relationship with you because they are filling a void. They're looking to you for happiness rather than working on themselves and being happy with themselves, which, you know, and at that point, we all know what happens from there. So those are the three scenarios that we talked about. And so you literally just talked about that third scenario, which was you have to love yourself and you have to be comfortable with who you are before you can be good for somebody else and love somebody else. And you hit the nail on the head.
Codependency, you know, right there. I mean, I think that's the definition term of it, is codependent, when you're, you know, depending on everybody else to make you happy on there.
That's right.
And you can be codependent with anything, Austin. I mean, it could be, you know, a sport. It could be, you know, a drug or alcohol or a spouse or a child. I mean, you can even, you know, I've even seen it to where parents become codependent on their kids. And that's not healthy by any means at all. You know, your children should be able to be children and not have to be depending on their
parents. The good old helicopter parents.
Correct, yeah.
Gotta love them at the games, right?
Yes.
Or at practice. Oh, man. I don't miss that at all.
I had a couple of them, you know, sometimes when I've coached. You know, like I said, I don't know if I told you, you know, I did a lot of coaching out there in Arizona. And, you know, that's where I got my start. I was very blessed that I got my start out there at the Tempe YMCA and, you know, just moved on from there, you know, up in Arizona. So, but I dealt with my fair share of helicopter parents or parents thinking that, you know, this is the way it's supposed to be done. But a lot of these parents, they expect, and I'm sure you've experienced this, Austin, as a coach, you know, that they expect you to basically be the kid's babysitter. And they expect you to be the role model, be the one that gets their kid in line straight. No, that's, you know, that's not our job. That it all starts in the home. That is the parents' job to take care of their kids and to discipline them. I'll be there to help. But
we can build character, but we can't discipline and parent your child.
Correct. Exactly. You know, and I mean, I don't know how you did your programs. I mean, what I would do, Austin, you know, I was a big Coach Carter fan. You know, I had contracts. I would, you know, before I ever start any practices or before we ever touched a basketball, you know, when I was at, I coached at St. Francis Xavier there in Phoenix for a couple of years. And, you know, I wrote out a contract of, like, this is what's to be expected. This is how my team is ran. This is where we're going with this program. And I would hand out a copy of that to my athlete, and I would hand it to the parents. But before I did any of that, I would give it to my athletic director, and I would be able to put it up there of, like, are you okay with me putting this out to the parents and everybody? Because my mind is that, you know, as a coach, we need to have a winning program. You need everybody on board. And that's not just the athletes and the coach. It's you need the parents on board. You need the school on board. But everybody has to have the same vision. We have different functions, just like a car, but we're all working for the same goal on there. So that's, as a coach, you know, you want that. But reality is, you know, I feel that, like, my job as a coach is to help make you become the best young man or young woman that you can be. I mean, basketball, sports, I mean, it's great and it's fun. And, you know, you may go really far on that. But the percentages of you going pro are very minimal on there, you know, for most athletes. So, but what can we teach these kids today on how in young women? And I'm the type of person, often, that I don't let things slide, you know. If I do that, if I'm letting you slide and I'm letting you get away with little things on there, I'm failing you as a person. I'm failing you as a coach. I'm failing you as a mentor. And honestly, I'm failing myself because I'm put in this position to help you grow. And that's what I think our society today, we lack on that. We lack on parents and we lack on coaches or role models, you know, wherever it may be, we lack on doing the things that are necessary to help our next generation grow into the best versions of themselves. And I'm not saying that to everybody.
Let me butt in here real quick. Yeah, I have one word that can literally sum up everything. Accountability.
Accountability.
Nobody wants to take accountability. And what's sad is, and what my experience was in my 10 years, is I saw parents a lot. I'm not saying all, but a majority of parents whose kids were failing, either in school or failing in, you know, on the, you know, to maintain their grades to participate in athletics, they always would blame teachers and coaches and everybody else. And it's like, no, like, we can build character. We can set boundaries, and we can teach your child about how to be successful. But that isn't all put on us. You have to establish the same ideals at home. And if we don't get your support at home, then what we're doing at school isn't going to be enough.
Correct.
And you know what I mean? And that's what I saw. And so, you know, and I think that, you know, for our listeners and stuff, you know, the reason that we're talking about all this stuff when it comes to coaching and building kids is because, you know, we're trying to prevent all this, you know, father absenteeism and, you know, teen pregnancy, and you know, it all correlates. And, you know, we do need to have support there. And, you know, all these things that we talked about, you know, with courts, you know, being in favor of the woman, you know, talking about, you know, not having these kids being educated enough, it all goes into the same thing. It's all the same result. And the same result is, you know, we're having kids that are growing up without fathers. We're having kids that are not being educated. They're making bad decisions. Thus, you know, we're having kids, you know, especially young men, not being able to step up and be the men that women need, you know, in society. And we're seeing that now as a result.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, we see it all the time on there often, you know, and it's sad. But I mean, I think that reality, that's our job as a man. I mean, you know, I don't just tell, you know, what I do with my, I'll use this for an example, you know, and this is just me. I'm the in-school suspension supervisor at the high school here in Fayetteville, Springdale area, you know?
Right.
And what we do is that I don't just bring these kids in. Yeah, they got in-school suspension because they had a vape at school, or they, you know, were truant. Whatever it may be, they got a day or two or three days of ISS, right? So we'll, for the first part of the day, we will sit there in class and we'll do our work, make sure that we get all our work done. But in the afternoon, I will take them out and we'll do service work. We will give back. We will clean up the courtyard at the school. We will sweep the gym floor. And we'll do all these. But I believe that it starts with me as a man and me as a role model, is that I don't just tell them to do these things. I get out there and I do that with them. They see me putting the gloves on, carrying the trash bags around, and cleaning up our school courtyard on there. Because I can't expect them to do something that I would not do myself. That's very hypocritical. And I believe that the best way of teaching somebody is doing it yourself also with them. I mean, you earn the respect that way of showing them versus demeaning them and telling them this is how things are going to be. I mean, there are certain levels, you know, that you need to be that way. I mean, if you look at a, you know, a college football coach, you know, there, by that time when you're an athlete and you're in college, you pretty much are aware of how things are ran and what's to be expected. You know, I mean, you're not at Arizona State playing football and have no idea what you're doing. No, you're pretty prepared for that by that time you get to that level. You know,
so yeah,
there, you know, you don't have to, you don't see the coach out there running, you know, like maybe out there with them or wind sprints on there.
Right.
You know, they're ready for that. So, but yeah.
So to kind of wrap this all up, I just had a few questions for you. The questions I want to ask you, you know, pertain to kind of what we were talking about earlier. And so, you know, and this is for my listeners. And so you're, you know, we're talking about getting into a relationship and how important that is, you know, to be an alpha male and everything. When you're talking about marriage and you're talking about kids, I mean, I personally take it seriously. And the reason why I don't have kids is because I understand how much dedication it takes to raise a child. And I'm not in any position right now, in my opinion, to raise a child. I'm still having to work on myself. You know, I'm going through a transition period right now, going from education, you know, into the fire service. And so I'm working, you know, towards goals to getting myself there. But, you know, to everybody out there that's listening, you know, and you having to go through, you know, as much as you have, you know, with, you know, child custody and divorce and all that stuff. What would be your advice to everybody who's thinking about, you know, maybe getting engaged or maybe having a family? What would be your advice to them?
You know, my advice to them is, you know, make sure that you both, the person that you're going to want to marry or that you are going to want to be engaged to and spend your life with, that they're your teammate. That they're your best friend, that it, because you're going to have situations come up to where it may be your friends pulling you away from each other. It may be your job. It may be your honestly, we can go into family on that. There can be times that family doesn't even want you guys together. Mm-hmm. So my advice is that you really take time. Don't rush it. There is no time limit on when you have to get married. Yes, everybody, we're promoted in society that you want to get out of college, you get out of high school, go to college, you know, land your job, and then bam, be married by 26, 27 years old, you know, 31, whatever it is, have kids by 31, 32. You know, that's the timeline frame that we want to, you know, kind of be on. But the reality of it is there's no timeline. There's no set date that you need to be married. So really find out if that person that you are with is going to have your back through the hardest times. I guess for my saying on that is, does this person that I'm with make me a better person? And do they make me want to be better? Do they support me when I'm down? Or are they knocking me when I'm down? Are they someone that, hey, I've lost everything, but they're still there right there with me and they've got my back? And so because of that, it makes me want to be better and take care of them. But in reality is, if you are going to get married and you are going to spend your life with someone, your mindset needs to be, I am in this relationship to give. It's not about what I can get out of it. It's about what I can give to the other person on this, because awesome. You serve the other person on that. So I mean, that's
awesome. What was okay. And then let me get your opinion on another thing. So we also talked about, you know, you actually brought this up, and I was actually going to get into that, is men stepping up. And, you know, and I don't know if you and we could go on and on about the subject, but, you know, there was that it was Toni Lauren, had that famous YouTube about men stepping up, and she had a lot of backlash for it because she seemed like she was a feminist and this and that. Mm-hmm. But there was a little bit of truth to that, because, you know, we do live in a society where we have tons of options.
Yep.
You know, we don't just have, hey, you know, I saw her out at the movies, I got her number, we're going to go on a date. You know, this is like, you know, back before social media and dating apps, you know. Yeah. We could just focus on that one person. Now that we live in this society where we have all these different things taking our attention away, what would you say to a guy that's dating today? What should be his priority if he is looking to date?
Well, it kind of goes back on, you know, what I said in the last question. You know, what are you looking to get out of it? I mean, are you looking to, I mean, your mindset needs to be high for the person. Because in reality, if you're being a man does not sit there and date three or four different girls at a time. Like, girls don't want that. And that's why we are, you know, in the situations we are in, because girls have gotten burned because they find out a guy is, you know, dating three or four different girls. Girls at a time. You know, so my opinion on that, with what I would give an advice to a guy with today's society, is, you know, really figure out first who you are and where are you going in life. And then try to find that girl who has the same vision. She can see what you're doing and see and believe in it, you know, because it makes it 10 times harder if you don't. If you want to speed date, mm-hmm. and you want to go and date, if you're in, and like I said, you know, we both said this, we're not saying marriage is for everybody. There are certain situations that it's just not. I mean, you know, we're all in a growing period. I mean, I'm not anywhere where I even want to date right now, because I'm focusing on me. I'm having to reinvent myself right now because of my past failures and mistakes. But what I've learned is that coming from being in a bad relationship, a bad marriage, or whatever it may be, I've really learned that, hey, you know, I've got to love, and I want to, and sooner or later, you attract what you are and what you're going to become. You know, you become a product of your environment. What is that saying, Austin? If you hang out with six or five broke people, you're sooner or later going to become the sixth one.
Right.
So as a man, you want to surround yourself with, if you want marriage, find good Christian, you know, I'm a Christian guy, you know, that's me. I believe in God. That's my faith. You know, that's who I am. But if you want to have a good Christian marriage and you want a wife that loves you in a good, you know, godly way, find couples to surround yourself with that can mentor you. The older couples, find people who have been together for 20 or 30 years and ask them how they've done it. That's what we don't do. We don't ask, how did you do it? What's your advice? You know, we're so, you know,
We can do it better. We can figure this out. And you guys are kind of old, but you don't understand how things are. And, you know, I mean, we can figure this out on our own. That's kind of like the mentality.
Correct. Yeah. When in reality, and we're taught not to ask. We're taught as men that we don't need to ask for help. That I don't know if I want to say shameful, but it's looked down upon if you're asking for help as a man. When in reality, there's nothing wrong with asking for help as a man. I mean, yes, that's really actually the true definition of masculinity is when you are humble enough to say, hey, you know what? I don't know how to do this stuff, but I'm coming to you to maybe teach me and help me grow. And if you're not growing, then what are you doing? I mean, that's where I think we mess up at, because you grow in love together. You grow together. You do things together, and you're always learning to be a learner. You know, when I went to Mesa Community College, that was, I think, in one of my speech classes or something, or English. I can't remember. It's been so long ago. But it really hit me, and that's always stuck with me. It's like you're always learning to be a learner. You're learning something else constantly, you know.
Yep.
And you want to surround yourself with people, Austin, or men who you visualize. So if you see that you want marriage, you know, then surround yourself with men who have a great marriage. And learn from them. Learn how they treat their lives. Watch them. Study them. See how they act toward their lives. If you want to be a young single dude or old single dude, whatever it may be, and you want to be a player, whatever you want to call it, and date five or six other different women, go to the bar and find the guy who's popular and who's got all the girls, you know, and constantly has girls constantly hitting him up, and he has no problem. Learn from him. See how he acts. See how his masculine. But you got to decide for yourself who you want to be, and then go from there at the end of the day.
I'm glad you hit that other point, because there's a lot of guys that, you know, they don't want to be married, and they just want to, you know, kind of live a single life. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that either. You know, if that's who they want to be, you know, and we've had podcasts about that in the past, and it's like, you know, we've been kind of rejected. I mean, you know, I'm 39 and I'm, you know, I'm single. I mean, I just got out of a relationship 6 months ago. You know, I was dating, that, you know, I wasn't anything near a engagement or anything, but you know, we kind of get lost in the shuffle, because it's like, well, you're not married, so you don't really belong here, so we're just, you know, we're not going to invite these things. And it's like, no, like, we still want to be invited. It's just, you know, we're single, but it's not like, you know, we have a disease or something like that.
Yeah, it's like we're friends, but I mean, I can see in society where it is hard that, you know, I'll say from my experience, Austin, I went from having friends that were good friends of mine when I was married, then all of a sudden I became divorced, and I did get shunned. They didn't hang out with me no more. They didn't want to be part of, you know, things with me. They didn't invite me to stuff. And I'll admit, it's very hurtful. It is. You know, but we don't talk about put on this mask and move forward and, you know, cowboy up, basically, is what, you know, I call it. But the reality is that if we're really being men, the Bible talks about iron sharpens iron, so another man should sharpen another, you know. And that's what we as men, we need to do. We need to bond together. We need to grow each other. We need to challenge each other. You know, we need to call each other out, like, hey, if you're doing something wrong and you're not doing it correctly, call them out. Tell them, hey, you know what? I mean, you don't have to be a jerk about it, but at the same time, care about your fellow man enough to help them grow and be better than what they already were, you know?
Awesome. Awesome. Well, hey, Daniel, I appreciate you being on the show. Thank you again for being here on The Lost Art.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, man.
Definitely really good stuff.
Oh, definitely.
Really good stuff. And for you guys that are listening, again, I appreciate you guys for listening. I know it's been a while, but, you know, we're doing what we can here. So I want to thank you guys all for listening. And we'll have more in segment three here on The Lost Art.
Okay. Well, thanks, Austin. I appreciate you, man. I hope you have a great day. And try to stay warm out there in that nice Arizona sunshine.
That's not going to be difficult. I cramped up earlier today. I went on a run and I cramped up in the last, I had 0.15 miles to go. And I cramped up and I had to walk it out, man. It was brutal.
Well, I just really have to tip my hat to you, Austin. You know, I've been following you, you know, on Facebook and everything. And, you know, I was watching your store today and, man, you're looking pretty jacked, bro. I mean, I'm sure that the ladies in Arizona definitely better be, watching for you, man, because you're coming up, man, and you're doing a great job. I've followed you for the last couple years and we've been, man. And I just, you know, you definitely, you keep me, you know, you help motivate me. You make me want to be a better man. So I just
that's awesome, man. I appreciate that. That means a lot. Seriously. That's awesome.
Oh, definitely. So, well, all right. Well, man, I appreciate you having me on the show. And like I said, anytime, I'd love to, you know, sit and discuss these things with you if you'd like.
All right. Beautiful.
All right. Well, have a wonderful day, Austin.
All right. You too, Daniel. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Welcome back, guys. Welcome back to segment three. Just wanted to kind of wrap everything up for this episode. The thing that, you know, was really cool about when I talked to Daniel is, you know, the fact that he admitted to some of his faults. And, you know, that's not really easy to do, especially whenever you're talking about, you know, revealing yourself to people on a podcast. And so I really appreciate him for being open and honest about a lot of personal things and, you know, giving us some insight as to how he's been growing and, you know, improving overall. And so I got to tip my cap to him. You know, it was a very good interview. You know, he touched on a lot of really good things, you know, and the point of that interview was just kind of let, you know, open your guys' minds up, or at least open your guys' perspective up about a lot of different issues when it comes to marriage, when it comes to relationships, dealing with kids. You know, if things happen between you and your wife and unfortunately there's a breakup and you have kids in the mix, you know, what you can expect there. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that we don't think about when it comes to that. And so I really wanted to get somebody that was kind of already experienced in the way of, you know, those dealings. And you know, he was kind enough to share. So really good interview. And then, you know, obviously we talked about a lot of other things about education, about, you know, how important it is to have, you know, if you do have kids, how important it is to have the father and the mother in the child's life, you know. And so those are some things you guys obviously have to think about whenever you're, you know, going over whether or not, you know, marriage is for you or a relationship is good for you or any of those topics. So, you know, and that's the point. The point is for us to grow, you know, and iron sharpens iron. I can't, you know, I've heard that time and time again, and that's so true. You know, we want to be around people that are making us better, making us sharper. And so, you know, as an alpha male, that's what we got to do. And so, you know, this segment is, I really don't have much else to say other than that. It was kind of covered in both segments. You know, this is just kind of like a wrap up. I did want to again promote the email address. So if you guys want to be a guest on the show, because now obviously I have, phone capabilities, you guys can call in or I can reach out to you, however you want to do it, and we can do a segment. If you want to be on this show, email me at thelostart@yahoo.com. Again, that's thelostart, all one word, no spaces, no numbers, thelostart@yahoo.com. If you have emails, I love getting the emails. If you want me to talk about something that you're thinking about, you want to get my take on it, again, email me at thelostart@yahoo.com and I'll go over them. I'll read your emails. As you can see, every email that I get, I'll read on the podcast. So for my listeners overseas, I appreciate it. You know, I'm starting to get a lot more people from different countries listening in. Ireland, United Kingdom, France, Germany, Nigeria, Iran. We're getting a lot of different, you know, countries involved, and I think that's really exciting. You're getting a little bit of an American's perspective on our culture and how we are dealing with things over here. So if you guys want to write in and give us some perspective overseas, because I love that. I love learning about different cultures. Email me at thelostart@yahoo.com, and I would love to read your emails and hear about what you guys are going through, you know, and being able to hear about that and learn from that. So that's all I really have, guys. I just want to say I can't thank you guys enough for joining in. You know, the more listeners that I have, the more motivated I get to do these things. Obviously, it's been a little bit, life happens. I'm sure you guys can relate, but, I'm still here for you guys and just here to make everybody better and shed some light onto some things where we can all be better alpha males together. So with that, I'm going to bid you adieu for now, and hopefully it won't be so long between episodes. So I will get back at you. And again, as always, thank you for listening to me here on The Lost Art.